What's good, everyone? Matt here from UK Nets Fans, and I'm joined, as ever, by Aidan McConaughey for another episode of BK to UK, the British Brooklyn Nets podcast. Today is Tuesday, the 8th of August, and today we're talking about the newest net in town in Trendon, Watford. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson playing for Team USA, and as ever, dipping into the mailbag to answer your questions. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at UK Nets Fans. And check us out on YouTube, where you can catch us live as we record the pod and get involved in the comments, as well as watching back all of our old episodes. But with that out of the way, let's get into it. The Nets have signed a new player. Trendon Watford, a 6'9 power forward, has been signed to another non-guaranteed one-year deal with Brooklyn. 22-year-old played two seasons in Portland after signing a two-way contract with them in 2021, which was quickly converted into a standard contract only a couple months later. Known for his work ethic and consistency on the floor, he averaged 7.5 points, 4 rebounds in just 18 minutes of play. Played 110 times for the Blazers between 2021 and 23, shooting 54% from the field, 33% from beyond the arc. It was a bit of a logjam at his position during his time in Portland. Obviously, Jeremy Grant was there, didn't quite have the same three-point range as Jeremy Grant. And the Blazers ultimately had another young guy in this position called Jabari Walker, who they ultimately went for and decided to back and released Watford, which is great news for the Nets. Aidan, what are your thoughts on the newest guy in black and white?
Yeah, I mean, another really exciting move for the Nets. He definitely feels like a guy that can probably play a role in this Nets team next year. I think I said this last week about someone else, and I can't remember who, but he is probably the best fit out of all the guys in terms of the need that we've currently need in this team, in terms of bigger guys who can slot in next to Clax and even maybe play some small ball minutes at the five, as you say. He can stretch the floor, only kind of 33%, but that's good enough for me in terms of a center who takes one or two threes a game. As long as he makes a couple, then that's all good. I've had a good look into Watford, see what's kind of people are saying. I liked a quote that I saw from Blazers Edge, who done a 2022-23 wrap up on Watford, and they said that he had a stacked repertoire with moves that were too strong for forwards and guards, and in other cases too quick for the bigs, which was quite exciting. Often on the Nets, we've had guys who have came in and they've somehow played under their size just because they don't utilise it too well, and they don't take advantage of their opponents too well. So it's nice to see a guy who clearly benefits from his body and his speed. So we'll wait and see how that pans out in terms of his position on the Nets. I think we've both been watching some film on him today. And funnily enough, I probably do see a comparison to someone like Jeremy Grant, just with his movement and size, which isn't a bad thing for a guy who's taken such a leap in the last few years. I even had a look at Grant's stats at age 22, and they are pretty scarily similar in terms of numbers and percentages and things. So that's good to see. I think on the downside last year, he did have kind of a bit of an up and down year in terms of injuries. He had an Achilles injury, which is always a bit of a scary word for Nets fans. Hip flexor issues, which kind of stunted his ability to get some solid minutes, as you say, on a relatively poor Portland team last year. But I think we can keep our fingers crossed that due to the minutes that we have at power forward and backup centre spots, as I said, there's a good chance that the Nets have potentially found another diamond in the rough, like a kind of Bruce Brown kind of pickup that we had, and hopefully can come in and do the business for us.
Yeah, I mean, I know everyone's highlight tape makes him look $1 million, but as you said, I've been kind of looking at his highlights. To be fair, it was from the 21-22 season with Portland, but it seemed like he did a little bit of everything that the Nets need, apart from sort of stretching the floor three-point shooting wise, getting active in the passing lanes, stripping the ball off people, on the defensive end, running in transition, carrying the ball up the floor, you know, as a 6'9" big guy. He showed some real skill at that. If he wasn't kind of driving through contact and getting to the rim, he was kind of driving, stopping. He's got this really sweet sort of dream shake move that he does. He loves a little push shot sort of from the mid range, not sort of just closer from the mid range, but he can find cutting players as well. His distribution is really good. You know, he's had some putback jams and some follow-ups and that kind of stuff. So although, you know, the stuff I've seen that the Portland fans have been saying about Watford is that his range is quite limited, and offensively he blew a bit hot and cold. He does change it up, and he is quite varied on the offensive end from just of the limited stuff I've seen. So really, really exciting. But as what I've been doing increasingly whenever we sign a new player, I've been looking at in the comments section of the SB Nation boards for the opposing team that they've come from. So sort of as you referenced, the Blazers Edge, one of the fans said, I think I'm higher on Trendon's game and potential than others, but he has baby Draymond vibes to him. A big man who can grab a board, bring the ball up the court and drop a dime. He tried on defense, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. A lack of lateral quickness or lack of concentration, but he definitely competed hard on both ends, was working on his outside shot, and he seemed to really bring that team spirit and joy and joie de vivre for intangibles. Big up for joie de vivre on the internet comments. But yeah, I think it just really goes to show the kind of identity that this net squad is going to be next year. Hard-nosed, gritty, defensively minded. I think we're going to do a ton of sort of transition offense. He reminded me a little bit of a massive version of Cam Thomas, where he goes and sort of gets a lot of contact. He played with Cam Thomas at LSU, so he's going to have some familiar faces in Brooklyn. He also played with Dennis Smith Jr. When DSJ was in Portland too. I think it's almost Darius Bazley insurance, or there's going to be a lot of competition there, because it seems like they're a lot, you know, Bazley 6'8", Watford 6'9". They kind of play that kind of power forward position, a little bit undersized in the center, grabbing rebounds, hellish defensively, and then getting out in dishing. But what a good problem to have with these kind of sort of semi-raw prospects. And I think if you hit on one of those, I think it's great, but it's really, really good. And I love this new direction. Obviously, we've said it a couple of times in previous episodes where it's a new era for the Nets. And for the fans that were picked up during the superstar era, this may be a little bit of getting used to, just to kind of kick the can down the road and see what we've got with some prospects. But I'm all in. I love this kind of development stuff and finding some really cool players that you may not have heard of that turn out to be, you know, the next Bruce Brown. He was sort of coming out of Detroit. No one really knew who he was. He was undersized, but he kind of did everything we needed him to do and fit well into the system. This could be a similar sort of scenario. So, yeah, the Nets have still got a two-way contract to offer, as well as kind of the Exhibit 10 training camp invite stuff. But this looks like our roster, like, you know, barring any big trades, this is our roster for now, going into training camp at least anyway. And I'm kind of into it. I like what I've seen from Watford, and we will stan anyone who has a British place name as their surname. So it's all good. So big on Trendon Watford. Nets news otherwise, it's been, obviously we're still in the deep dark days of the off season, but Nets players have been playing actual basketball this week, which has been fun. Team USA have been in some World Cup sort of warm-up matches and absolutely battered Puerto Rico, I think it's fair to say. But two of the bright stars in the Stars and Stripes were Nets guys, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, the twins. They kind of, in the, obviously it's just a bit of a warm-up against not great competition, but in 23 minutes, Bridges finished with 14 points, 5 rebounds and 3 steals and an assist. Whereas Cam Johnson in 19 minutes ended with 15 points, 6 rebounds, a steal, and a block. USA coming out a 117 to 74 against Puerto Rico. So I don't know. I haven't seen obviously the whole game back. It's preseason for essentially preseason for the World Cup. So massive pinch of salt. You got a lot of first time Team USA debutants. So, you know, their sort of spirit's going to be through the roof, wearing their country's name across their chest for this game. But, you know, what did you make of the highlights? What did you make of Johnson and Bridges?
Yeah, I think they both look good. They dominated quite well considering they were playing against Puerto Rico. I think the Puerto Rico made the Americans look really, really good in the second half. Bridges looked really sharp, which was good to see. Still has that confidence that he had at the back end of last year. I saw a couple of highlights. He had a nice steal. He was dunking over guys, which is fun to see. There has been, I don't know why, but there seems to be an agenda against Mikal Bridges across the league at the moment, and people are digging in at him, which I don't know why he's getting that. I think it's just because he plays for the Nets, and it seems to be the cool thing to hate the Nets and the guys in the Nets. But he is genuinely the nicest guy in the NBA, so I don't know why people would want to hate him. But he did get, I think he got beat on one play quite comfortably, and he looked terrible defensively. But at the end of the day, this is essentially it's essentially a game of pickup at this point for Team USA, who at times just didn't really look like they were meant to be playing together. As you can imagine, they're essentially just guys that all play for different teams that have been shoved together, and they're expected to make it work. So I knew it wasn't going to be perfect, but the guys did look really, really good. Another thing was Cam Johnson was starting for Team USA in the games against the development team, and then he got dropped to the bench last night, but it was for Anthony Edwards, so it's kind of expected that he's going to start over Cam Johnson, so I don't think he can be too disappointed with that. But yeah, it's nice to see some guys from the Brooklyn Nets play basketball, and I think once we do get into the World Cup, it's going to be exciting to see them against better talent.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. It's always fun to see kind of, it's almost like what the All-Star game could be. You've got all these kind of world-class players getting together and playing not for their regular teams. But obviously this, where it's not like sort of All-Star level talent, it's that kind of step below. Still good enough to represent America and you know, do well in a international competition, but they still get, they actually have effort and they play and they're really happy to be there and stuff. So it's good to see. And obviously GB didn't qualify for the World Cup, so we have no other dog in the fight. So it's nice to cheer on, you know, the twins give us reason to cheer Team USA because they play for our Brooklyn Nets. But obviously I don't know how tampering rules go when you're away on international duty, but there are some pretty good names on this Team USA squad that, you know, if Mikal Bridges is the nicest guy in the NBA, as you claim he is that enough to tempt some other folks to come and join him in Brooklyn? It's a pretty star-studded squad. If you could pick another player that is also on Team USA journey to come back and suit up for the Nets, who would your pick be? I've got a couple in my head.
Yeah, funny you should say that. In the last hour, Anthony Edwards has followed Nicholas Claxton, Dennis Smith Jr., Darius Bazley, and the Brooklyn Nets on Instagram, and people are losing their mind, as expected. But he did also just sign like one of the biggest rookie extensions of all time, in the last week or something. So I think that would be a bit hopeful. I think for me, it's got to be BI. I think he's just an absolute baller, and I love watching him play, despite the fact he does get injured quite often. But I think that type of guy would slot into this Nets team flawlessly. And yeah, just on pure selfishness, because I just love watching him score. would be fun to have him on the team. Who do you think?
BI was one of my picks. I've always rated Brandon Ingram really, really cool. But you know, there are some great sort of other names in there. Obviously, Tyrese Haliburton is incredibly good. Anthony Edwards as well, as you say. Jaren Jackson Jr., I think, you know, we don't need him. We've already got Nick Claxton, who's better than him, so it doesn't matter. I also do like a bit of Paolo Banchero as well, who controversially, I'm pretty sure in previous years gone by, he said how much he would love to play for Italy.
So, yeah, I thought that too. I think he's probably going to do that thing where he plays for the US and then plays for Italy in the Olympics or something.
But, you know, maybe he didn't think he was going to be close to representing Team USA, so he hedged his bets, and then all of a sudden, once they come knocking, it's a different story. But yeah, really, really cool to see Mikal and Cam Johnson make that leap and get representation on the international stage, which is always good. Talking of making that leap, though, it has been called into question whether or not Cam Johnson is worth his incredible amount of money that he got paid. I personally think that a good showing internationally is kind of going to raise his profile a little bit. He did kind of talk to the media about sort of his preparation and, you know, in light of the contract, all this kind of stuff. And he spoke to, I think it was Brian Lewis on the Post, said it's, you know, it's just the same approach. He's just talking about getting better and better. He's just got to prove himself, and he's proving it every single day. He says, I work for it every day and improve every day, and then I'll continue that mindset as long as I play, which is really cool that, you know, he's not sitting back and, you know, doing a Hassan Whiteside where you get paid and then you sit back and just count your money and collect checks. He wants to progress and he wants to move forward. Obviously, during his time for Phoenix, he was known primarily more as like a spot-up shooter. But after the trade that took him to Brooklyn, he did expand that out, you know, more points, all this kind of stuff. Still a really, really good two-way player. In the playoffs, again, he kind of increased his output as well. So I think I would be happy to put my reputation on the line and say that I think he's going to take another leap forward. I think he's just that kind of, that's his kind of personality. I think that he's going to be one of those players that's always striving for personal success and team success. And I think given the fact where the Nets are coming from and where they're kind of pitching themselves this year, I think it's going to be all about progression as a unit and personal progression. What do you think? Do you think he's going to take much of a leap, or it's going to be a little kind of bit here and there?
Yeah, I think he's got a lot of work to do, and by all means, it sounds like he's doing that. I think probably playing for Team USA is the best thing for him right now, just to continue to just try and get better and dominate. There's no doubt that he's extremely talented. I think everyone would agree with that. But I think, obviously, when the two guys came over, obviously Bridges excelled in his new role, whereas Cam did have a new role as well, and did show to a certain level there was some growth there. But he's got that new contract now, and there really is an expectation now for him to take that leap. I guess you could probably compare it back to when Joe Harris got his contract, and there was an expectation there to take a big leap and be that guy. It never really worked out. Obviously, there was a lot of injury troubles there. But I think you're right. There is the skill that kind of Cam has. There's definitely position for him to improve. And I think as well, if he can take the leadership role that he'll have on this Nets team, being one of the senior guys, obviously this Nets team keeps getting younger. So guys like Cam Johnson, who's like 27, 28, is going to be one of the older guys. Yeah, which is mad because he was a young guy on that Phoenix team. So yeah, I think there's certainly a level where he can take his game there, but he's certainly going to need to kind of make sure he's one of the main guys in the court. I think the contract is a good contract. I think he deserved it. He's kind of fallen into that categories of guys who got paid this summer, and it looks a bit too much. But obviously, with the cap increase over the next few years, which I think is expected to skyrocket even next year, it's going to look pretty fair down the line. And it'll look like the Nets made a good move. But yeah, you mentioned obviously the Philly series there. I think if we can see Cam be that more aggressive style of Cam Johnson, who he's obviously seen as quite a nice guy, smiley guy, kind of spot shooter. If we can see that aggression that we saw on the Philly series, who dunked on Joel Embiid, he was certainly the standout guy in that series on the Nets for me. Then I think there's every chance that he can take a big leap. And obviously last year in Phoenix, he did have some injury stuff before moving over to Brooklyn. So if he can have a good summer, dominate in FIBA and get to a new level, then I think the Nets are going to look pretty clever as early as the first couple of weeks of the season. So yeah, I'm delighted for him that he got that contract. And you said it, I think he's got that mindset where he knows now that he needs to kind of take his game to a new level, and I fully expect that he'll do that.
Yeah, it's just another one of those things to look out for next season. There's a lot of sort of stories that are slowly unfolding, I think, during this offseason. I think Cam Johnson is one of those ones that's only time will tell. But I have full faith that he's going to earn that money. but then I had full faith that Joe Harris was going to earn that money as well. And we know what happened there. Just looking at his contract, he's currently, this season coming, he is the 54th highest paid player in the NBA. I know that doesn't always translate into being the 54th best player necessarily. But if you look around the kind of level that he's being paid, so just behind him, he's getting paid a touch more than Kyle Kuzma. So just to break it down over the next 4 years, Cam Johnson's getting paid $25 million this year, then 23, then 21, then 23. Kyle Kuzma is around the same, 25, 23, then 21, but a little bit less than that fourth year. Obviously, Kuzma is the guy over in Washington. I know they're Beal-less, and he's kind of sticking around to be the main guy on a team that didn't make the playoffs last year. Again, looking a little bit, who's getting paid a touch more than Cam Johnson? You got your likes of Jalen Brunson and Tyler Herro, Jaren Jackson Jr., Jordan Poole, that kind of caliber. I think he could easily be spoken about within sort of in and around that kind of level of player next season. Sure. I think that's not too far of a reach. So, you know, when you talk about market rate and all this kind of stuff, I think it's kind of there or thereabouts. I think, you know, a lot of these teams are probably going to be have a bit more loftier expectations than the Nets will have next year. But yeah, I don't think it's too much of an overpay. And again, if you look at what Bridges is on, you could take the extra $10 million that he should be on a year than he is at a moment, and you know, spread that around the roster a little bit, and you're there or thereabouts. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we've got with CJ going into next year. So now it's time for your mailbag. Obviously, it's trade season is still going on. No news coming out of Portland apart from Watford coming to us. But we've got a theme in the mailbag this week with Ollie Khan from Twitter said, what benefits the team more, a Ben Simmons at 100% or trading for Siakam? And our good friend Theo from the Discord said, do you think the Nets should get involved in the Spicy P sweepstakes? I've got opinions, but I'll let you kick off. Should we trade for Pascal Siakam, and would you take him over a healthy Ben Simmons?
Yeah, it's a weird one. It is a really weird situation with Siakam and the Raptors. It seems that the Raptors clearly want to move on from Pascal, but they seem to be wanting something of significant value back. But he clearly wants to stay in Toronto and play out the rest of his career there. Even going as far as saying, obviously, he'll refuse to re-sign for the team that trades for him next year, which puts both parties in a really difficult position, because no one's going to want to sign for a guy who's essentially playing for a season unless you're potentially a team that's a Pascal Siakam away from making a push at the championship. And a lot of those teams don't have a good enough piece to give to Toronto to make them make that move. So I honestly don't know. I think the only way I would say the Nets should get involved is if Sean Marks can get some form of word from Siakam where he says, okay, I'll sign for you and you can trade for me and I will re-sign. That's the only way that I would do it. And it would need to be something like Royce O'Neal, DFS, and potentially one of our Phoenix picks. And I probably would make that move, but for a one-year rental, for a guy that sounds like will be unhappy all year, it really doesn't seem worth it. And I think this is going to end up with him re-signing in Toronto. And they're just going to be a play-in team for a long time. In terms of the Ben Simmons question, that's a tough one, because we at the same time, we really don't know how 100% Ben Simmons benefits this team because we've not seen it yet. I'd say if you do get an all-star level Ben Simmons, it probably does benefit us more in terms of balance, defense, facilitating. But that's not to say that Siakam is just an absolute beast. We've seen it over the last 3 or 4 years. He's definitely a top 20 guy. And I have no doubt that he probably would take the Nets to a very good level. But I'm looking at that question in terms of he is only going to be here for the year, and that's a massive risk. Whereas Ben Simmons is on the current timeline, and if healthy, he just puts us in a very interesting position going forward. If we've got a guy like that on our team, as well as having all our assets as well. So I think a lot for saying I'll take Ben Simmons at 100% over trading for Siakam.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. So just looking at Siakam, obviously all-star this year, just gone. Averaging, just looking up his stats at the moment, averaging 24 points, 8 rebounds and 6 assists. I mean, that's pretty, he's not a bad player, but I think, you know, we're a wing heavy team anyway. So you'd have to, obviously the people you chip out are people that are not as good as Pascal Siakam. But like you say, unless you can guarantee us that he's not just here for 1 year and he will re-sign if we ask him to, it's an absolute non-starter. In theory, he'd be a nice addition to the team, I think. It'd be nice to kind of have someone to put alongside Clax that kind of opens the floor up a little bit. I think he's got a bit more of a stroke than some other people that we've considered. But yeah, give me Ben Simmons over Pascal Siakam every day of the week. I think we need Ben Simmons' skill set a lot more. I think he's gonna come back. I mean, it will shock no one to say that I am optimistic that Simmons comes back. But yeah, I think it's just it's a victim of it being a slow news day or a slow news week or whatever it may be. But yeah, it seems really strange of Siakam to fall, like in a time where loads of NBA players some high profile NBA players have been forcing a move out of the place they're in. It seems that Spicy P has been forcing a stay where he's playing. So it's a bit of a strange one to wrap your head around, but yeah, it's a very strange one. But yeah, give me Ben every day of the week. Just looking through the comments on YouTube, big up Ramon Castro, who's a regular face. I love seeing this through recently, last couple of weeks. He said the Nets attended a Harry Giles workout, who's a center who has formerly played for Sacramento and for Portland, eligible for a two-way contract, just to round out that last kind of two-way spot. And, you know, ever the historian, Aiden, you said that this isn't our first dalliance with Harry Giles, right? I think you popped that in the Discord this week.
Yeah, I did. I saw that tweet as well, and it was a bit of like that meme where it's like, oh, Harry Giles, I've not heard that name in years. yeah, because I don't think he's actually been in the league for a few years. His name kind of came up a lot when we drafted Jarrett Allen. And I think he ended up going, I think it was a couple of places above Jarrett Allen in the draft, which, yeah, I think we probably ended up with a much better deal getting Jarrett over Harry Giles. But yeah, I think if we can get him on a two-way contract, it's another good option. I don't think he'll be anything more than that now that we've got Watford in and Darius Bazley as well. So yeah, it's another decent option for the Nets, but you just need to know that Sean Marks is at every single workout, or at least one of Sean Marks' guys at the moment, because that's just what he enjoys doing. That's his thing. That's what he does in his spare time. He just goes and watches these guys. So you can take it with a pinch of salt. I think there was a lot of teams there to watch him. But you can watch guys work out all day, but if they can translate that onto the basketball court, we really don't know. So, yeah, a name to watch, but I imagine he probably ends up somewhere further down, somewhere like OKC or the Magic or something like that.
Yeah, just digging out the sort of article on it. He's got an upcoming tryout with the Warriors and seven other teams. So this isn't a key Nets rumor. So he played in the Miami Pro-Am, scored 42 points and everyone kind of went a bit crazy for it. Still only 25. He last played in the G League for the Agua Caliente Clippers in January of last year. 142 career games in the NBA. Not crazy, but just a little footnote there, just to possibly round out that last kind of two-way spot. But yeah, it is what it is. We shall see what happens. That is another week of Nets news. I will say, though, before we go, if you are thirsty for basketball and you're not watching the World Cup, definitely have a look at what the New York Liberty are doing in the WNBA. They have a super team out there with Breonna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, Jonquel Jones, but Nigel Laney, Courtney Vandersloot. There is so much good basketball to be had, and WNBA League Pass is cheap as chips, so definitely worth checking out. But for me, that's another week on the BK2DK British Brooklyn Nets podcast. Thanks for coming through. We'll see you next time.